So this makes a huge difference. This, the fact that the Buddha not only rediscovered, as it were, or found the way to fulfilling his potential, to becoming a Buddha, to transcending the limitations of dualistic thought, however, whichever kind of way of talking about it you want to use, was an incredible achievement. But to then be able to help other people to do that, now that's what makes him truly extraordinary. And it's that process of being able to communicate with others in a way that helps them to move towards enlightenment. It's that, the first time that happened, is what's encapsulated. That's what's talked about as turning the wheel of the Dharma. Yeah? So this symbol that you get in Buddhism of the eight, you know, the symbol of Buddhism is this eight-spoked wheel. Yeah? So it's this communication, not just of teaching, but of enlightened consciousness itself, bringing forth an enlightened consciousness in another, which is the turning of the wheel of the Dharma. So in a way, this gesture is the gesture of the most transcendent form of communication that there can be. Which in a way is an entirely reasonable thing. It's just, when you think about it, it's just what you'd expect from an incarnation of the perfection of wisdom, isn't it? You'd expect the incarnation of wisdom to also be the perfection of communication, in a way. Yeah, there's no point in being the perfection of wisdom if you just sort of sat there in a room going, "No, no, I'm perfectly aware." Actually, there is, but that's a subtler point. Yeah. An enlightened consciousness is a boon to the universe, whether it's in communication in a way that we'd be familiar with. It would be in communication with us anyway, and in fact, presumably already is. Enlightened consciousness is in communication with us, if only we could tune into it somehow, allow ourselves to be appropriately receptive. So I like to see this symbol as being about, I mean, it's talked about as the gesture of teaching, but it's not about teaching, I don't think. I think teaching in a way is just simply a way of talking about a sort of archetypal form of dharmic communication. It's about dhammakatha is the traditional term, isn't it? Which is talking the Dharma, as it were. So not talking about Buddhism, but actually communication that is itself the Dharma, an expression of enlightened consciousness, or an expression of the progress, the movement towards enlightenment. So no, it's exactly what you'd expect from perfect wisdom incarnate. I've given you all a copy of her seed syllable, which is Dihi, which is the same seed syllable as Manjushri. So it's the seed syllable of enlightenment itself. And we'll chant her mantra, and I'll read this invocation, which is from a... Oops, sorry. Which... later on. So we'll come back to that. But it's worth us linking back to the beginning of the talk, in a way. Because we began by looking at this principle of darshan, didn't we? I began by talking about this principle of darshan, this uplift, this lifting of our levels of consciousness simply by seeing, simply by coming into relationship with a more developed being. And so if we can come to see Pranyaparamita, the goddess whose consciousness is that of perfect wisdom, then obviously she's going to be able to help to lift our imperfect and unwise consciousness in some degree towards her, yeah? With her beautiful golden body made of Buddhas, with her various gestures, with the object she holds, with the mantra that we're going to chant in a bit, with this mysterious seed syllable, which is the essence. Each bodhisattva has a seed syllable which is said to be their complete essence, this little sound. And it's this kind of principle which is at the heart of what's called sadhana meditation, which is a key part of Vajrayana meditative practice, yeah, of Tibetan practice particularly. So these are meditations on which one... it's generally said that you visualise a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. Visualise isn't quite the right word, because you don't. It's not like you sort of see a picture of them in a way. It's much more like you come into a sort of heart relationship. There's a sense of you actually come into an experience of the Buddha or Bodhisattva. Now, it's said that the holding a visual image, you know, holding a strong image is helpful to that, but the sense of presence, the sense of connection is absolutely key. So by meditating, coming into relationship with Buddhas and Bodhisattva figures, coming into relationship with Prajnaparamita, these are the things that can take us beyond our mere conceptualizations of the nature of reality. However profound and subtle those conceptualizations might be, yeah, these can take us, in a way, this is what moves us into the Vajrayana, yeah, it's take us to a direct perception, a direct experience, or perhaps one could say a non-experience of shunyata, which is, you know, what the perfection of wisdom is all about, really. So that's what she's for. So should we have a go invoking her? Correct answer. Correct answer. Okay. So make yourselves comfy. Make yourselves sort of prepare yourselves as if for meditation, really. With the ground, with your own bodies. And in a way, what we're going to do is a kind of puja, those of you who know about puja. And I was on retreat with Vasantra once. Said something about puja which I thought, gosh, I wish somebody had said that to me about 7 or 8 years ago. So when we do puja, we do it to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Yeah? So you have to, well, you don't have to, but it can be very, very fruitful. It can help a lot if you have a sense of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas being present. So imagine what it would be like to be in the presence of a being that was perfectly wise, of a beautiful, mature woman who was perfectly wise. And wanted to help you to become perfectly wise as well. Chant the mantra a few times and you can join in as and when you're ready. Om Adi Hum Swaha. 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 Om Swaha. Om Adi 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 Om Swaha.